my friends in Christ, arguably one of the most beautiful poems written in the English language is a series of poems called Four Quartets, written by T.S. Eliot. And in Four Quartets, Eliot brings us on a journey towards union with God. He's bringing us towards this understanding that our final end, the reason we've been created, is to be united to God forever in eternal bliss, to be exalted in the heavens with God. But to get there, he'll highlight many times in Four Quartets about how we have to renounce ourselves, how we have to become empty if we're going to be filled with the fullness of God. And perhaps for that reason, that those two themes of exaltation and renunciation are so prominent throughout the Four Quartets, Eliot begins the poems with a quote from the ancient philosopher Heraclitus, who says, "The way up and the way down are one and the same. The way up and the way down are one and the same." And so it's the great paradox of the Christian life. Jesus, in our gospel this weekend, is highlighting that same paradox. He says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." The way to life is through death. He says, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life." He's ultimately talking about the paradox of the cross. And that's what he comes to focus on in a particular way in the gospel this weekend. He says, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." That his abasement, his emptying of himself completely on the humiliation of the cross, will draw people like a magnet to him. St. John the Evangelist will say in his gospel that the glory of God is found in Christ crucified. It's the glorious moment of God revealing himself as the God of love for us. It's a beautiful way to understand what God does in the mystery of the cross. How do we understand the mystery of the cross in our own lives in this Lenten season? In the letter to the Hebrews this weekend, there's a strange phrase that talks about the sufferings of Jesus. It says, "Son though he was, he learned obedience through what he suffered." Son though he was, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Well, certainly Jesus was never disobedient, needed to be taught a lesson. It's not what the letter to the Hebrews is saying, but how do we understand that Christ had to learn obedience? Well, it's helpful to look at the Latin word for obedience, which unites two words, ab or dire, together in one. Ab meaning towards, or openness to, and audire meaning to listen or to hear. And so to be obedient means to have an open ear to. It means to tune in. And so it is that Christ, who was always listening to the voice of the Father, who always heard his Father's voice, nonetheless, in his suffering, learned to tune in a particular way to what God was saying to him. Do you and I have that same open ear? When we struggle, when we suffer in the Christian life, do we learn the same lesson? That sometimes to enter into the exaltation of God, we have to empty ourselves and open our hearts in obedience to what God is saying. Back in the 13th century, the great Italian poet Dante Alighieri wrote his Divine Comedy. The Divine Comedy is, in a certain sense, an autobiography. He's writing about his own life. And he begins that beautiful poem by saying, "Midway on our life's journey, I found myself alone in a dark wood, the right road lost." And so he experiences a crisis. He feels that he's far from God, alone in the dark. And at that moment, he suddenly sees the mountain of God off in the distance, glistening in the sun. And he realizes that's where I need to go. That must be my final end. And so he makes his way up that mountain. He starts his way on that path, only to realize that he's confronted on that trek up the mountain by three ferocious beasts, a lion, a leopard, and a she-wolf. And so the lion represents pride or arrogance, drives him back down the mountain. The leopard represents sensuality, beautiful to look at, but dangerous. And the she-wolf is that ravenous creature that's constantly consuming, constantly eating, never satisfied, represents greed or avarice, something Dante Alighieri struggled with in his own life. And these three beasts are too much for him. They drive him back down. He can't ascend the mountain. And at that moment in the poem, he meets the ancient poet Virgil, not a Christian, but a pagan poet, who nonetheless has something to teach Dante Alighieri. He says, if you want to go there, up to the top of the mountain, then you have to come down first. And so Virgil leads him into the inferno. He goes to the depths of hell, and he will confront sin and look it in the face. He'll see the souls of those who have lost their salvation because of their terrible choices in life, and they're wallowing in their own sins. They're suffering as a consequence of what they did when they were on the earth. And it will make him physically sick to see this reality, until Virgil will lead him towards the Purgatorio, where he's purified of his sins. He's purified of all the attachments he has to the things of this world, until finally, after the Purgatorio, he's ready to ascend to the Paradiso. He's ready to behold the vision of God in heaven. He made it, but he had to go through hell to get there. The way up and the way down are one and the same. Friends in Christ, we are about to descend into Holy Week. In just 1 week, we'll celebrate the Passion of Christ and then enter into the Triduum, where Christ surrenders himself completely on the cross, is buried and exalted once again in the resurrection. We're called to enter this mystery of the cross in the most intimate of ways. How are we called to surrender ourselves and empty ourselves that we might encounter the fullness of God in our Christian lives? And how can we come to understand that the way up and the way down are one and the same?